It's showtime.
Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go. We are off and running on this, the 22nd day of March, 2018. This is the horn. Until we get the whole hack website thing sorted out, our home, our only home, is headon.live. If you go to headonradionetwork.com and you see that this account has been suspended, it's because that account has been hacked and shut down for the time being until John can get crap sorted out. That's why that's there. But not to worry, because most of the functionality that you look for in headonradionetwork.com can be easily found at headon.live, courtesy of Brother Deacon Asa. Yes, that's right. If you go to headon.live, you'll get the stream. If you go to headon.live, you can find the PayPal button, the ever-important, critically necessary PayPal button. If you go to headon.live, you can find a link to the Patreon campaign and become a subscriber. And who knows what might happen as a result of that. And, of course, if you go to headon.live, you can go to the chat room, the same chat room we always use. And therein, you will be met by the likes, once you've picked out a screen name and a password, you'll be met by the likes of Anatole and Steve from Georgistan, and longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, although he is a spacing guild master, has not folded space today and is sitting in contentedly being Sparky. Okay? So that's where that is. There's a discussion going on in the chat room right now about headonradionetwork.com, and I keep trying to explain what's going on there. And so that's what's going on there. Oh, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. It is Thorn in the Side Thursday here at the Horn, and it was another leaden gray early spring day here that eventually perked up a little bit, and the sun peeped through, and we had some high puffy clouds floating by, and it got a little prettier and a little warmer. Right now I'm broadcasting live from the fabulous Horn Studios at the fabulous Kincaid Mansion. And here in the fabulous Horn Studios, it's about 59.4 degrees, up about a foot and a half down from the ceiling, which means it's probably about, 57 down here where we ordinary folks are. Yeah, it's spring's having a hard time getting started. Low tonight, yeah, it's low tonight's about 24 degrees, low tomorrow 21, low Saturday night 28. That's your weather forecast from the Horn Weather Center. Oh, no, really. And hey, Saturday, snow. Hey, by Saturday, I'll be standing out in the yard screaming at individual snowflakes. They may have to come and just administer a prophylactic, therapeutic sort of Thorazine dart in my neck or something. No, sorry, Silent R. Lamar. No naked radio this evening. there would be entirely too much shriveling and shrinking going on, and I'm just not up for that right now. No, I'm layering. I'm layering this evening, just that way, so you know things like feet don't go numb and whatnot. Ah, thank you very kindly, Sparky, letting me know that on the Horn group, Facebook group, he's pinned a link to the chat room there. If you're having trouble getting in. But I've been explaining for about a week and a half now that we got hacked at headonradionetwork.com, but everything works great at headon.live, okay? Now, one of the first things we do, the first thing we try to do every evening is to thank our subscribers. Our subscribers help us meet about a quarter of the fundraising goal for the Horn over the course of a month. And if we can finish fundraising on schedule by this evening, then we'll have fundraising free radio all of next week, which excites me to no end. So thanks go out this evening to Kenda in Missouri, who, having seen my waterfall video over on Facebook, now knows that, that's Dunloop Creek running down to the New River in Fayette County. And thanks to Bill in Florida. Thank you, Bill, for being one of the merry band of something less than 100 subscribers every month who provide a quarter of the budget. Thank you to Michael. Thank you, Michael, very kindly for being a subscriber. And thank you very kindly to Gail out in Nebraska. Thank you so very much, one and all. You are partial sponsors of this evening's program because you're subscribers for the 22nd day of the month. If you would like to become a subscriber, and we have to go over this stuff, I'm sorry, but, there's a checkbox over at headon.live, HEADON.LIVE, headon.live. When you click the PayPal button, there's a checkbox there that makes it a recurring monthly payment. It'll come out. The recurring monthly gift will come out every this day or whatever day that you do it every month. And if you do the Patreon thing, it all comes out on the same day, the first day of the month. Patreon.com/Bob Kincaid. Links at headon.live. Okay. And so where are we right now? Well, having met Silent R. Lamar's challenge before airtime last night, We managed to knock down a little bit of fundraising last night itself. So this evening, the fundraising goal is $340, and then $200 tomorrow. And taken all together, $540 wipes out fundraising for the whole rest of the month. And we've got fundraising free radio next week. Okay. So if we $340, and I kid you not, there are bills that must be paid so we can have not just fundraising free radio next week, but, you know, radio next week. I know. Capitalism. What are you going to do? They don't give out, you know, free connectivity and stuff just for my good looks, right? And like I said, it was the clouds broke and we got some sunshine today, and that's always good. It puts me in a little bit better frame of mind. And it reminded me as I was walking along the creek banks yesterday, I looked down and I saw some moss growing on a stone. And I thought, by Jove, I'll have to tell the hardworking peripatetic periodontic scientists at Horn Nutraceuticals about that. And I came back and I did. And they said, what, really? And I said, yes. And so they ran over and they got some and they put it in the proprietary Horn freeze-dried dehydrating device. And so this evening, I'm proud to tell you that brand new from the hardworking peripatetic periodontic scientists at Horn Nutraceuticals, at Horn Labs on Twitter, yes, I'm talking about ponerized peat moss. Mm-hmm. Ponerized peat moss is a proprietary blend of peat moss hand-gathered by the aforementioned periodontic, peripatetic, hardworking scientists, and is available only through Horn Nutraceuticals, except no substitutes anywhere else. Anyone else that tells you that they've got genuine ponerized peat moss is lying to you. Ponerized peat moss is a bullshit nutritional supplement available only through Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter. Yes, it has all the nutritional value of peat moss and then some. Freeze-dried, dehydrated, and packed into tiny little capsules that you can barely see with the naked eye. Or, well, you know, if you're naked when you're looking at them, that's your business. We don't care what you do once you get them. But, yes, and we guarantee 157.9% guarantee that just like all other Horn Nutraceuticals nutritional supplements, ponerized peat moss has absolutely no nutritional benefit whatsoever. None at all. That's why, at great expense, we prepare it for you. And yes, for a 90-day supply, which will get you a little bundle of credulity strips with which you can find out that our ponerized peat moss is absolutely less nutritional than any other ponerized peat moss out there, well, by Jove, it can be yours. A 90-day supply of ponerized peat moss for only $340 plus $200 shipping and handling. Okie doke. Yes, you know, I've never cared much for peat moss, but thanks to ponerized peat moss from Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter, I can tell you that I get all of my peat moss goodness each and every day, and it comes pre-ponerized thanks to our proprietary process. Ponerized peat moss is, of course, cage-free, gluten-free, free-range, cruelty-free, soy-free, peat moss-free, and is available only through this special offer. No salesman will call. Your mileage may vary, and operators are not standing by. So don't call now. Just dig deep, and we guarantee you will never receive a 90-day supply of ponerized peat moss from Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter. Accept no substitutes, use no hooks, post no bills, this side up. FOBCODPEATMOSS, ponerized peat moss, only from Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter. And so, consequently, we will that ends all the shilly-shallying that we have to do for the beginning of the program. So we'll now get into the business of what constitutes a very real thorn in the side Thursday. Where to begin? There are lots of options. But it occurs to me that I might ought to mention, just because there's been all kinds of analysis all over the for-profit media today, that it takes a lot to make a lawyer quit his client. A whole bunch. In fact, it is generally frowned upon for a lawyer to take a case and then bail out on his client. If there are court proceedings already underway, a lawyer can't just say, sorry, out of here. Dog ate the pleadings. I hear my mom calling. Got to do my hair. No. You can't just bail. In a litigation situation, you actually have to get the court's permission to quit. You have to be granted leave to withdraw. Now, in the case of the Mueller investigation, there's no court proceeding underway yet. But nonetheless, John Dowd, who had been hired by Geezer Disgustus specifically for the purposes of representing him in the Mueller investigation, John Dowd today said, screw it, I'm out of here. Now, there had been rumors in the past that he came close to walking before, and he'd go, please don't leave me, John. Don't leave me. No, Donnie, you won't take my advice. What do you want to pay me for if you won't take my advice?
Well, no, I will. I promise this time I'll take your advice.
Okay, so shut up.
I can't take your advice.
And that's basically what happened. Dowd bailed out because his client will not take his advice. And when a client won't take your advice and you persist in representing him, that lawyer may be said to be almost setting a trap for himself.
No, he misrepresented me because I wouldn't take his advice because I'm smarter than him. I'm smarter than all of you. All of you, every last one of you. I can lawyer better than any lawyering lawyers out there because I'm a really stable genius.
And in point of fact, there are even rules that say that when a lawyer knows that that his client is going to violate the law and doesn't step away, then the lawyer himself gets in deep shit. Now, the story today is that Dowd had to get out because, among other things, the Carotene Caligula is saying that I want to testify before Mueller. I want to. I'm really going to. I absolutely. And Dowd was sitting there going, Mr. President, you can't do that because you'll be charged with perjury before you're done giving your name.
What do you mean? My name's David Dennison. You're Donald Trump.
I see what I mean, sir. Yes, and in my mind, everybody who works for Donald Trump and is male winds up sounding like Smithers talking to Mr. Burns. Although Mr. Burns is slightly more lovable than Trump and considerably more intelligent.
Excellent.
But Dowd was in a spot, no doubt. And if he was sitting there next to Trump during the interview and Trump started lying his ass off, that could have created some exposure for him vis-a-vis Mr. Mueller. Of course, the other side of the coin is that most of the highfalutin paid pundits in the for-profit media today have been pontificating and fulminating that this is an indication that Mueller will be fired any minute now. Mm-hmm. And that may be true. The Nectarine Nero wants to fire Robert Mueller so bad that he can taste it. But he can't seem to get Mueller to get on an airplane and fly to Los Angeles or Nigeria or somewhere where he can be really far away when Trump fires him and then tries to take the airplane away. No, really. I mean, that's where we live right now. And so the question is the firing of Robert Mueller in the immediate future? Trump can't do it directly. Do please remember. He has to have it done. And Rod Rosenstein is still sitting right there. And more importantly, Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III is sitting right there too. And Rosenstein would have to be the one to fire him, so that means having to get rid of Rosenstein. He got rid, the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini did, he got rid of Andrew McCabe. But there's a backstory to that. Before he got rid of him, and it becomes a little more apparent why he would have wanted to, before he got rid of him, United States Attorney General Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III actually fired Andrew McCabe. But before he did that, Andrew McCabe opened and oversaw, supervised, an investigation into whether or not Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III had violated the law, which is a little bit of a vindication for me. I can remember a while back saying that one of the easiest gets would probably be, yes, indeed, Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III, because he sat there and lied like a rug in front of the Senate of the United States during his confirmation hearings. He lied right to the face of former Senator Al Franken. And it was based upon correspondence from former Senator Franken. And Senate Judiciary Chair, Senate Judiciary Committee ranking Democrat Pat Leahy of Vermont, they wrote to the FBI asking for an investigation as to, quote, whether any laws were broken in the course of Sessions' contact with innocuous, snuggleable Russian Ambassador Sergei Kislyak. Or in any subsequent discussion of whether they occurred. In other words, when Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III sat there and looked at Senator Franken and said, I did not have talk with that man. I did not have talk with that Russian Ambassador Kislyak. When in fact, he had. He was lying. He was providing a materially false statement to the Senate Judiciary Committee. And may have even lied more. When he went before the House Judiciary Committee in November 2017, he said that he pushed back against George Papadopoulos' idea that they should reach out to the Russians. This was when he was just a senator and one of the early adopters of one of the early riders on the Trump train. But now, three people who were in that meeting that Sessions attended, as did Papadopoulos, according to the Reuters article, said Sessions had expressed no objections to Papadopoulos' idea. Yeah, meanwhile, Sessions himself lawyered up, and his mouthpiece, Chuck Cooper, says that investigation is no longer ongoing. There's no further perjury investigation out of the lies that he told, Sessions did, among other things, to the Senate Judiciary Committee. Mm-hmm. Of course, one must presume that the results of that investigation are known to and perhaps even in possession of Special Counsel Robert Mueller. And, of course, tucked away in all of this is the fact that Senator Franken was the one who went to Leahy and said, we need to get this looked into. And, of course, Senator Franken is gone because the Upright Christian Ladies Brigade, led by Kirsten Gillibrand and Kamala Harris, had to throw him to the wolves based on only the sketchiest of information. Well. And now, breaking news, courtesy of the New York Times, and of course after it was denied, it now appears to be confirmed, that, yes, National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster is toast. No, really. Scott and Punky saw this at about the same time I did. McMaster to resign as National Security Advisor and will be replaced by John Bolton. Remember, it was very likely McMaster and his group's work that led to that presidential briefing on how to place a phone call to sweet, lovable, cuddly Daddy Vladdy, including the words in big, bold, capital letters, "Do not congratulate," which Donnie Dimwit completely ignored. I have a feeling when the transcript eventually leaks out, we will hear or see where Marcus Aurelius said, "And I just want to congratulate you on your election victory and on my election victory." Thank you very much. Now I'll get emails about the W and V and yeah, but McMaster's out. And who knows, but maybe it was him, maybe it was someone else who actually leaked the fact that Donald Trump ignored advice not to congratulate Pooty. He's going to retire from the military. And although he's been talking about getting out of the White House for several weeks, you know, before he does something indictable, they've decided to ramp up the timetable. Ostensibly, the New York Times reports that this is because it was having a negative impact on his conversations with his counterparts in other countries. And the replacement will be John Pornstash Bolton, warmonger. No, really, warmonger. It was the 28th of February when he posted an article he had crafted arguing for a first strike against North Korea. I just got an email in from Steve in New York. Subject line, John Bolton. Any doubt now we're going to war? None. Bolton has also argued in favor of Israel committing a first strike against Iran and further setting fire to the dumpster that is full of gasoline and old motor oil that is the Middle East. Meanwhile, note coming in from Albert in Rhode Island. Bob, if Trump believes that he's so smart, he should represent himself when he talks to Mueller. Or should he? Albert phrases it as a question. Should he? Well, he'd have a fool for a client and a moron for a lawyer, so I'd say, I don't know, let me shake the old magic eight ball. Son of a bitch, it doesn't say... Oh, there's that word. Son of a gun. It doesn't say answer hazy, ask again later. Signs point to yes. We haven't had anything other than answer hazy, ask again later out of the old cracked magic eight ball for years. Good question, Ron and Raleigh asking. I want to know where the hell is Al Franken? They bum-rushed his ass out of the Senate, and he's disappeared. All it takes is a sketchy accusation from a Republican operative, and your future's down the memory hole. I know. I know. Yeah, so, McMaster out, Bolton in. Right? Yeah. Well, with that in mind, and what with this being thorn in the side Thursday, this is a real, you know, I mean, this is one that, it doesn't just does, the thorn goes all the way in and then breaks off and festers. I have some audio here. And this is some bizarre stuff. Back in 2013, well, let me back up here. John Pornstache Bolton, as it turns out, and this will make perfect sense now, John Pornstache Bolton is also another big friend of Mother Russia. Now look, I'm not saying that anybody who's ever taken a ride and heard the songs of the Vulgar Boatman is somehow compromised. Just because you've been to St. Petersburg and seen the Hermitage, or, you know, drunk way too much vodka in some dark, strobe-lighted disco in Moscow, doesn't mean that you're a spy or that you're on the take or in the pay of or compromised or whatever. No. But when you've made career choices and you've got a history of being a part of government in the United States and you've made career choices that bring you much more snuggably, huggably close to the regime of a, let's see, what was the phrase we were using 15 years ago? A brutal dictator who kills his own people. Then that's worth paying attention to. It's also worth paying attention to that we have, and the NRA has, the National Rifle Association, close ties to gun groups inside Mother Russia. Mm-hmm. And so it was that in 2013, at the behest of the said gun group in Russia, John Bolton recorded a video statement he did so for right to bear arms. That's a bunch of that's what they call themselves, the gun humpers over in Russia. The group was founded and gotten off the ground by a guy named Alexander Torshin. Just as a matter of pure coincidence and happenstance, Alexander Torshin is good friend with dear maximum leader president for life, Vladimir Putin. So, enter John Pornstache Bolton, who delivered the following address on behalf of right to bear arms in Mother Russia.
Thank you for this opportunity to address the Russian people on the 20th anniversary of the adoption of the Russian Constitution. This document signaled a new era of freedom for the Russian people and created a new force for democracy in the world. While more time has passed since the United States created our own constitutional freedoms, we never forget the joyful optimism that marked the beginning of our democratic history. We wish our Russian friends that same hope and pray for you the strength to preserve these first precious freedoms. Today, you're engaged in a historic debate about the possible expansion of your freedoms. Should the Russian people have the right to bear arms? I can share with you a word about what this particular freedom has meant to Americans and offer you encouragement as you consider embracing that freedom, which so many nations and cultures have found to be the essential defense for all other freedoms.
Yes, the essential defense for all other freedoms, and the triggering mechanism for having people with military-style assault weapons shoot up your schools, your movie theaters, your grocery stores, your universities, your parking lots. Yes.
Enshrined in the American Constitution is the right of our people to keep and bear arms. But even in America, like Russia today, this specific detail was not included in our original statement of rights and freedoms. So our founding fathers wisely added it in the Second Amendment, part of the Bill of Rights, to our Constitution at the time of the adoption of the entire document. This right has assured Americans of their freedom to engage in two critical acts of survival, the gathering of food and the protection of their families by all appropriate means. Our right to bear arms does not detail what types of arms those may be, an important point that allows for both the evolution of technology and the evolution of responses to threats not then or yet imagined.
Jesus, God. Our Second Amendment doesn't specify what kinds of arms. Well, maybe, porn stash, that's because there were a very limited number of sorts of arms that were available to be born. The right to bear arms means that the thing has to be portable, so that means that, you know, a little Parrot gun or a howitzer or one of those. No, you can't have those, but you can darn sure have a musket or a those matched dueling pistols that were so big back in the day for when somebody insulted you and you had to call them out and shoot at each other. But no, it doesn't specify, but if one wants to be a constitutional originalist like old fat dead Tony Scalia, one would say that the founders contemplated that people would have muskets and that anybody, and that the right to bear arms means having muskets. Except, of course, constitutional originalism went out the window when it became inconvenient to fat, dead Tony Scalia. Reckon he's fatter now than he was, or do you think he's trimmed down a little bit in the dirt? I don't know. But nonetheless, back to a friend of Mother Russia, John Bolton. Hey, by the way, he doesn't have to be confirmed by the Senate, so he's just in like, well, I guess we can't use in like Flynn with this administration, can we? Or maybe he is in like Flynn. Maybe he's up, as far, based on this, maybe he's as up to his knuckles in Russian intrigue as Flynn was. Still kind of, well, not now that he's pled guilty, I'm sure, right.
Our Second Amendment also implies a partnership between our citizens and our government.
No, it doesn't.
Our Second Amendment recognizes that while our Constitution provides for the national government to assume the...
Shut up. Ask any good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual Christian member of the National Rifle Association, and they'll tell you that there ain't no partnership between the American people and no goddamn government. Because the only reason we's keeping and bearing these arms is in case someday the jackbooted
federal government comes and puts its jackboots down on our freedom-loving necks right next to our tattoo that says only God can judge me. And that's why we got to have our guns. That's why we got to have a house full of AR-15s and Glock pistols and Tech-9s and Desert Eagles and all kinds of stuff like that. Because sure shot Merkin patriots are going to be able to, they're going to be able to plink them drones right out of the air, and they'll have some armor piercing rounds that they can shoot at the Bradley fighting vehicles when they, and the tanks and shit when they come up, right, you know, to put their jackboots down on their freedom loving necks. Partnership with government, my left hind foot.
Responsibility for our national defense. It cannot always be everywhere present for the protection of individual citizens. By granting individuals the right to bear arms, our national government does not relinquish its responsibility for ensuring the safety of its people. Rather, it delegated a means of providing that safety to the citizens themselves. This partnership has endured for over two centuries to the benefit of the government and the governed. Were the Russian national government to grant a broader right to bear arms to its people, it would be creating a partnership with its citizens that would better allow for the protection of mothers, children, and families without in any way compromising the integrity of the Russian state.
Who are they going to protect those mothers, children, and families from? Gay journalists? Because that's mostly who gets murdered these days. Well, political dissidents, too. And you know, retired spies living in England. And yeah. So, yeah, good luck with all that.
That is my wish and my advice to your great people as you celebrate your constitutional anniversary and exercise one of your many new freedoms by engaging in this debate today. Thank you for your time, and good luck on your journey into a new century of freedom.
It's new century of freedom, definitely. Many Russian soldiers now have freedom to go to Donetsk in Ukraine and wage secret dirty war. Da. Alexander Torshin, remember? John Bolton did that as a favor to Alexander Torshin. T-O-R-S-H-I-N, Torshin. Well, he's also, according to the newspaper The Tennessean, well, the NRA first met good old Alexander Torshin because of a Nashville lawyer by the name of Klein Preston. Klein Preston says that Alexander Torshin is a longtime friend, even though Alexander Torshin maintains close connections to the Kremlin itself and to Russian officials who are on the U.S. sanction list. So back in 2011, Klein Preston of Nash, Vegas, he hooked up Alexander Torshin with a good old boy by the name of David Keene. And David Keene is the former president of the Rifle Association. He was on the 2015 trip to Moscow taken by the NRA. And Torshin's strong interest in gun rights was the reason that Preston hooked up him and Keene. And at one point in time, they solidified their friendship by going to an Alan Jackson concert. Can't you just... Yeehaw! It's excellent country music. Meanwhile, Klein pressed and said, it's probably false that Torshin tried to help funnel Russian money to the NRA to support Donald Trump. It's probably false. On the other hand, however, if you go and you look, if it hasn't been shut down yet, if you go and look at Klein Preston's Twitter feed, you'll find oodles of Russian propaganda outlets and any number of strange agents who say things like, Alexander Torshin is not anti-American in any way. You gotta love his Twitter handle. Klein Preston's Twitter handle is at Gittin' Paid, GITTINPAID. He said, long as U.S. is electing foreign-born presidents, I propose Vladimir Vladimirovich Putin. No, he really did. I'm not making, except the Vladimir Vladimirovich, which I can't say real good. He did. He said, because foreign-born presidents, that was September 7th, 2013. He was talking about that Kenyan Muslim you slurper in our White House. March 29th, 2013, he tweeted, Putin sets example for U.S. in crackdown on foreign funding of NGOs. Foreign influences must be prevented. And then something written in Cyrillic that I can't read because I'm illiterate in Cyrillic. Yeah. In the last couple of weeks, interestingly, Klein Preston has been road tripping through Mother Russia. He was designated, one wonders by whom, as an independent international observer for the bullshit attempt at an election that the Russians recently had. Yeah. So, just in case you were wondering. I know. Silent R. Lamar says, I'm just waiting to hear about the shooting in the streets of Russia. Mother Russia, Bob. Well, they don't have so many of those. If you get shot in Mother Russia, it's probably because the Russian mob was absolutely convinced you needed shooting. I know. Same here, Brother Deacon Asa. Asa says, and here I was all this time thinking the right to bear arms had something to do with possessing tickets to Yogi and Boo Boo's gun show. Yeah, it's not been the same for Boo Boo lately. Last I heard of him, he was complaining, oh, Yogi, now I'm all sticky.
Hey, Boo Boo boy.
I think Jim's right. They really kept Scalia's place of internment a secret, I do believe. Well, I think he was also buried under a ton of garlic with a wooden stake through his heart, but that's just me. I think that would have at least been, you know, prudent. Meanwhile, upon his triumphant return from yet another trip to the sandbox, Ron, in the far-frozen north, I think it's still far and still frozen, notes, McMaster gone, Bolton in, Dowd gone, DeGenova in, Kellyanne about to take off as Director of Communications, a certified Nazi wins a primary in Illinois. Are these all signs that Armageddon is near? Please tell me I'm right. This crap is getting to be too painful to keep track of. Oh, it's a booger. You can't tell the espionagers without a program, and this program is desperately trying to tell the espionagers. You just can't tell them much. No. Now this is a little more audio. This is old Klein Preston, who was if you need an election observed, what you want is a lawyer whose Twitter handle is Gittin' Paid. I'll bet you did.
Oh, man. Выборы президента России во Владимирской области прошли без нарушений. Об этом рассказали международные наблюдатели. Секретарь комитета по международным делам, обороне и вооруженным силам, вице-президент делегации Сената за рубежом Жуэль Гирьё из Франции и председатель общественной организации Института прогресса посредством закона Клайн Престон IV из США высоко оценили и организацию выборов, и процесс голосования, отметив, у России есть чему поучиться. Накануне дня выборов оба наблюдателя прибыли во Владимир, где встретились с председателем областной избирательной комиссии Вадимом Минаевым. Протокольная встреча неожиданно затянулась. Гостей интересовало все от процесса формирования избирательных комиссий до устройства видеонаблюдения на участке.
Во время встречи я ознакомил их с тем, как работает избирательная система в Владимирской области, сколько у нас участков, как формируется участковая избирательная комиссия, основные принципы работы, продемонстрировал. Как будет работать система видеонаблюдения. Наши коллеги действительно были впечатлены. 450 камер, 454 камеры у нас будут установлены в участковых избирательных комиссиях. Причем на этих 450 участках голосует порядка 80% избирателей. Вот. Ну, такого реально в мире нет нигде.
Международные наблюдатели 18 марта побывали на избирательных участках во Владимире, Гусхрустальном, Камешковском районе и в Суздале. Разводят руками, придраться не к
чему. Wait, did I hear Stalin in there somewhere?
Чему?
Мы увидели хорошую, качественную работу. Я очень доволен. Отличная организация выборов и никаких проблем. Это уже мой второй визит в Россию в качестве международного наблюдателя. Большая явка избирателей. Люди положительно настроены, нет недовольных. Не замечено никаких нарушений. Спасибо за приглашение. Я общался с избирателями, они очень добродушно настроены.
Из-за того, это президентские выборы, явки будут высокие, что мы уже наблюдали, то что высокие явки в каждом участке. Я не видел.
That's old Klein Preston, by the way. And how about that? I can hear the cornpone accent. I can hear the Tennessee in his voice, even speaking Russian. That's beautiful. That's just gorgeous.
Я не заметил нарушений никаких.
Важно отметить.
Sounds like we're not gonna get any. So anyway, what he did say is that the election was honest, open, and trustworthy. Putin's crushing victory is a clear sign of trust in his policy and leadership. Or maybe it's a true sign that nobody wants any fucking polonium in their tea, but, it, you know, you say tomato and I say tomato. You say polonium, I say polonium. Among other things, Klein Preston went down to watch the elections in Crimea. And while he's in Crimea, he said, Crimea is yours, Crimea was, is, and will be Russian. Okay, here's a fun one. And we're going to see more stuff like this as time goes on. Because the degree of compromise over on the GOP side is probably far deeper than we're willing to recognize. I mean, to a certain extent, if Russian money went into the National Ruble, Rifle Association, then any money that came out of the National Ruble, Rifle Association, was tainted with Russian money. So let's say maybe you're Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, and you're just lounging down there on the fainting couch and sipping on a julep there at the old family estate of Smolder and Chode, and somebody says, Lindsey, here's a big bag of money from the NRA. Why, bless your heart. Thank you very kindly. That money's tainted. Meanwhile, old Klein Preston, he's real live, honest to goodness lawyer. If he wasn't, he couldn't have all them legally lawyery looking books in his office. And he's got clients. And one of his clients is Marsha Blackburn. Goodness. Remember her? Yeah, she's the Republican lady who says goodness a lot. In fact, I think she is the member of Congress for our good friend Charlie up around Goodlettsville. Klein Preston has also said of his client, Marsha Goodness Blackburn, that he's real close to her. We've been family friends for a long time. Mm-hmm. Of course, family friends can have multiple layers of meanings in the old, deep, gothic South. Goodness. Yep. Family friends. Hoo-wee. I understand what Ron in the far frozen north is talking about. It does get right cussedly difficult to keep up. And, you know, this is not the same. And you know how it's not the same? Because so many of the precious Putin aficionados are out there saying, well, this is a new McCarthyism. No, it's not. Joseph McCarthy showed up with an empty file folder and said, I have here the names. That's not what anybody's saying. These are dots that are getting connected. These are lines drawn clearly between, say, the National Rifle Association and, you know, a good old boy like Klein Preston and Dave Keene and good old boy and big time Alan Jackson fan, Alexander Torshin. Mm-hmm. So make of it what you will. But when you take into consideration the fact that we're about to have a national security advisor who requires no Senate confirmation, again, who went and put a shine on for the NRA and the Russian equivalent of the NRA, and he's a notorious thumper upon the drums of war. Well, I'm not trying to scare anybody. I just have a feeling that as the pressure from Mueller ramps up, that things are just going to keep getting weirder and more dangerous. I know. Ron in the far frozen north says, I go away for 2 weeks, I come back, and my first reaction is, the fuck? You can't go away for 20 minutes anymore. I miss one program, and I'm 3 days behind. I can barely keep up with the daily news cycle. Let alone trying to, no. And we've got so damn many other stories out there that, well, yeah. It's a challenge. So we'll call this a close to the filibobster. Thanks to John for getting us started this evening. We now have only $330 to go in fundraising, and it would be mighty fine if we raised all those $330 extra dollars this evening, so we've only got $200 to fool around with tomorrow night instead of some sort of Friday on the front porch miracle. Please. I mean, that's how we keep this on the air.
But you know that. But thank you, John. Thank you very kindly. So, like I said, we'll take a break. And when we come back, maybe some conversation or some play and catch up. Because we got stuff to catch up to. And there's, you know, stuff that deserves to be paid attention to. Darn right. Plus, of course, it's a Thursday. And that means we also have the Green News Report, courtesy of Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen, on the way. You want to get involved in the program? 304-574-8178. Let me make this clear again. All the phone numbers ring into the same computer, and it's just one line. It's just different ways of getting to it. Skype to Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn. 304-574-8178. Or if you need us to pay the freight toll free, 844-THE-HORN, 844-THE-HORN, 844-843-4676. Lee with a note. Why be surprised that John Bolton will get a position without Senate confirmation? John Bolton was not confirmed by the Senate when he became our ambassador to the UN. Well, no, I'm not surprised. I'm merely pointing out that National Security Advisor does not require Senate confirmation. He's just staff. He just happens to be staff who can start World War, whichever number you choose. And as UN ambassador, he did have to be confirmed by the Senate. It's just that they were pretty much of a rubber stamp in the process. So, anyway... no, he didn't. Jim wants to know. Wait a minute. I got a cowbell for this. Did Bolton shave off that shock absorber? No, he's still got the porn stash. You could push broom a gymnasium with that thing. Or, well, you know, porn stash. There's a reason. So, we'll take our break. Green News Report's coming up, and with a long-distance dedication from Klein Preston to his old buddy Alexander Torshin. Remember them happy days there there in the box seats for the Alan Jackson concert. This is for y'all, for only from the Horn. We'll be back.
Sun is hot and that old clock is moving slow, and so am I. Workday passes like molasses in wintertime, but it's July. I'm getting paid by the hour and older by the minute. My boss just pushed me over the limit. I'd like to call him something, I think I'll just call it a day. Something tall and strong, make it a hurricane before I go insane. It's only 12:30, but I don't care. It's 5:00 somewhere. This lunch break is gonna take all afternoon and half the night. Tomorrow morning, I know there'll be hell to pay. Hey, but that's alright. I ain't had a day off now in over a year. My Jamaican vacation's gonna start right here. If the phone's for me, you can tell them I just sailed away. And pour me something tall and strong. Make it a hurricane before I go insane.
Funny you should ask, Al.
I'd say pull me something tall and strong. Make it a hurricane before I go insane. It's only 12:30, but I don't care.
I've been to Margaritaville a few times.
All right, well, that's good.
Just tumble all the way back.
Okay, we just want to make sure you can keep it between the navigational beacons.
Between the buoys, I got it.
All right, well, it's 5:00. Let's go somewhere.
I'm ready. Crank it up.
Let's get out of here.
I'm gone.
It's Thursday, March 22, 2018.
If you had a message for Washington right now, what would it be?
We need help. Please.
Puerto Rico still in the grip of crisis 6 months after Hurricane Maria, while new documents reveal Trump's FEMA failed to respond to calls for assistance.
We see it in bottle after bottle, and we see it in brand after brand.
Your bottled water is likely contaminated with microscopic plastic. Plus,
the world's last male northern white rhino has died.
Another charismatic species slips into extinction because of humans.
All of those stories and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Ivanka has been getting some heat for tweeting this picture of herself dressed like Science Barbie. Just like a real Barbie, she has no scientific credentials, and the space where her heart should be is a hollow plastic shell.
Oh, harsh. This is your Green News Report.
I'm gonna soak up the sun.
Okay, Desi Doyen, I've got something that will suffice today for some good news.
And we could use it.
The $1.3 trillion government-wide spending bill released late on Wednesday rejects Donald Trump's proposal to slash the EPA budget by 31%. Senior lawmakers have given the agency $8.1 billion for fiscal year 2018. That keeps the spending levels the same as it was in 2017. So it still needs to pass both houses of Congress before Friday, when the government could shut down if this doesn't pass. But this looks like good news. In addition to that $8.1 billion for the EPA in the main section of the bill, they also give $763 million in another part of the bill for various other EPA programs related to water infrastructure, cleaning up polluted Superfund sites, and so forth.
Well, that is some good news. It's nice that the EPA's budget will get a temporary reprieve.
It is. So now that I've found good news, how are you going to ruin it all for us today?
Well, Tuesday marked 6 months since Hurricane Maria made landfall in Puerto Rico as a Category 4 storm. It caused catastrophic damage and triggered the longest blackout in United States history. Yes, there is progress in the island's recovery, but blackouts are frequent, and more than 100,000 residents are still without power in rural areas. Maria caused roughly $100 billion in damage to Puerto Rico, but Congress so far has approved only $23 billion in disaster assistance. and AP reports only a fraction of that has been spent in Puerto Rico. NPR reports that FEMA has denied 60% of applications to repair homes because many residents don't have documentation to prove they own them. And a new AP report now underscores the federal government's lack of preparation and its botched response. Emails and text messages released by Democratic Representative Elijah Cummings of Maryland indicate that in the week immediately after the hurricane, FEMA officials simply did not respond to desperate requests for fuel supplies from grocery stores and even Walmart, leading to the spoilage of tons of food amid a hunger crisis.
Wasn't that right around the same time that Donald Trump was giving himself an A-plus for his response with FEMA to the crisis?
Yes, it is.
Imagine that.
Meanwhile, a new study finds that rivers are a significant source of plastic pollution in the ocean. Researchers have found that large storms that flood rivers end up washing tons of plastic litter out to sea. One single storm in northwestern England back in 2015 flushed nearly a metric ton of microplastic pollution into the ocean. And plastic in the rivers isn't just polluting the ocean. It's also in your bottled water. A new study finds that plastic bottled water is likely contaminated with microplastic. Researchers at the State University of New York tested more than 250 bottles across 11 brands and found that 93% of those bottled water samples contained tiny microscopic pieces of plastic. In an interview with the BBC, lead researcher Sherry Mason said much more study needs to be done on the health impacts of ingesting plastic.
These are the particles that can make their way across the gastrointestinal tract. We see it in bottle after bottle, and we see it in brand after brand.
The World Health Organization has announced it will launch a study on the effect of microplastics on public health, and some countries have begun phasing out single-use plastic to reduce plastic pollution. Finally, sad news in Kenya, where the world's last male northern white rhino has died. It marks the effective extinction of the subspecies of the iconic animals. All rhino species are being driven to extinction by humans through habitat loss and poaching. The extinction news comes just days after the Trump administration reversed a ban on importation of endangered animal body parts. And just days after Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke announced a new taxpayer-funded commission to promote big game hunting stuffed with big game trophy hunters.
Yep, I knew you would ruin my good news.
Sorry.
For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find us, follow us, and share us worldwide on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Twelve minutes past the hour on this Thorn in the Side Thursday, the 22nd day of March, 2018. And Brother Deacon Asa is working on his Ph.D. in pop culture right now, dissecting the lyric from It's 5 o'clock Somewhere, the bumper that I played there. Yeah, that one had some top-shelf relevance to it, I thought. So there really is stuff to go into this evening, but Thomas is standing by from FYINation.com. Hey, Thomas.
Hey, Bob. I just wanted to say hello, and I hope we survive 2018 at this rate. I'm not even joking anymore. And Alex Jones's rant may have been right yesterday and today.
Listen, just because I'm burned out on winter and I've got cabin fever and I've been saying things like I want to catch some rays does not mean I'm up for nuclear warfare. So, you know, damn it.
Well, I mean, okay, look, I apologize for the squeaky toy. My dog got my new dog that you may have seen on Facebook because I know you're a friend of mine.
Yes.
Who is amazing and has helped me with my depression and everything else. Imagine me being depressed, right?
You? A little ray of sunshine that you are?
I know, right? She is in a world of her own right now, and I wish I could be in that world. where we didn't have to worry about John Bolton, Vlad, and the no, you hang up, conversation that they had. I must admit, I stole that from Bob Seska, probably the only thing I'll ever steal from Bob Seska. But that being said, Bob, I almost feel like I need to get a food bucket. You know, it's like, what?
No, look, you don't want to live. If living through a nuclear holocaust means living on Jim Baker brand bucket pudding, you don't want to live.
But the macaroni and cheese looks so good.
What? Okay, I think you've got bigger problems than depression, Thomas. I think you need your eyes checked. Although I do confess, I was kind of hungry yesterday, and I went up to the Wiggling Pig, and there in the hot bar, they had something that they were calling Chipotle mac and cheese.
Oh, see, don't do that to me. I just had
little flecks, a little flex of green chili and red pepper in it. That was the inspiration for part of the prayer meeting Wednesday fellowship hall dinner, and goodness gracious, it was good.
See, well, the thorn on my side for Thursday is John Bolton. I would have been happier if it was the singer, because he's got more international experience.
No, that's Michael.
Michael. Sorry.
Yeah, whichever. I know. Same here. Happens all the time. I confuse the two.
Names are hard. And I can't. And the worst part is, my dad used to sport a mustache. Every once in a while, I would see.
I got one, but it's no porn stash. I mean,
I'm not anti mustache. I have one because otherwise.
Doesn't make me look like a walrus. Granted, a warmongering, genocidal walrus, but you know, just the same. No, the thing that kind of surprises me about John Bolton, Thomas, is that, shouldn't surprise me, the Mango Mugabe says one thing and does the other all the time, but mm-hmm. he really, really railed against the Iraq War, and now he's hired the guy who dreamed the whole thing up?
Well, and not only that, almost ran against him. Now, history lesson. John Bolton, and we all laughed at this. I know I did on my show on Some Say, and on other shows that we have on FYNation.com. But we laughed at the fact that John Bolton was considering getting into the 17-man, one woman, I think.
Two. I think there were two. Carly. Okay. There was Carly Farina, and wasn't there one other?
No, Michelle Bachman was in, Bondage Bachman was in
the last one. That's right.
Yeah. So she was in the last one. Though it could be confusing, just saying all white women look alike, crazy white women. That being said, he did decide to not run. You know, and so maybe for an instant that. He's just picking people who ran against him at this point, or thought ran.
No, at this point in time, he's picking anybody who says, "Yeah, I'll come on board." He asked four people. He asked four different lawyers to join his legal team in the last week, and they all said, "You're kidding, right?"
Who are the lawyers?
I want to keep practicing law. I kind of dig it.
I mean, I finally to find my SSI. I finally got a lawyer who was an amazing guy, and I say that joke with, you know, all respect to him.
Well, look, it's lawyering is a complicated thing, and
yeah.
and it requires a profound skill set and the ability to learn quickly and retain accurately.
Yes,
but even John Dowd, who did himself no favors by taking Donald on as a client, I'm no fan, but by the same token, there's not a lawyer on earth that is going to sit there and give advice and have it blatantly ignored or the exact opposite thing done and stick around, because it's not going to end well.
Yes. And who knew that I would be praying on a regular basis for a porn star? A female one at that. You know? Yeah. I just...
Yeah, by the way, Brother Deacon Asa is telling me, he says, I have it from reliable sources that John Bolton's stash is more of a flavor-saver than a porno stash. So there's, he gets a little hungry. You can always ring a snack out of it.
And
oh, God, I just ruined somebody's dinner somewhere.
That's okay.
Because I about turned my own stomach.
I ruined somebody's lunch the other day on my show, or breakfast, either way. It turned to Jim Baker's soup real fast.
Well, every now and then I get emails from Mother Russia saying, "We love listening to your radio program every morning in Moscow over our breakfast cereal of Pooty Puffs. Would you please send us souvenir of your program?" And it's the same email. It's always a different address. So I don't know. Good morning, Moscow. So maybe it's breakfast I'm ruining.
That's funny because I get email from the best people with the most and greatest humanitarian record on earth, China, President XI, Xi Jinping.
President 11? Yes.
Yeah. And never again. No other. Or Winnie the Pooh, as I like to call him. And I didn't really realize this. They apparently have a premiere, so that would be Tigger.
No, the premiere would be Piglet.
Don't make fun of I always liked Piglet.
Well, Piglet's just cute and pathetic, but Piglet is Pooh's best friend.
Now I think we're insulting Donald Trump or Sarah Huckabee Sanders. I'm not sure which one. Oh, and since we are an international program, if somebody could find me, since I'm poor and I live in my parents' basement at the moment, so I would.
But that's only till the George Soros big money check comes in.
Absolutely, or Alexander Soros. And that being said, whichever happens, could somebody please send me the floral pattern for that one dress that she keeps wearing that I ask her not to? Not because it makes her look bad or anything, just because it, like, distorts my mind into a crazed, like, jungle fever.
I saw, God, here we go.
You know the dress I'm talking about, right?
You started it. Here we go being catty again. I saw a meme. I think it was Tony that posted it. What does it say? It was a picture of Sarah Hasselbeck sandbags, with one eye kind of closed and the other one real big and open, and it just said, "This is what happens when you take NyQuil and DayQuil at the same time."
Oh yes, and this is from Brittany Summers of the Brit Summers Show. To that effect, we have a sound effect for that on our show, which is, thought you'd like that.
I like that a lot.
I won't play Mrs. Duggar. You might ban me.
Yeah, no, you won't. I don't hang up on people a lot, but don't press your luck.
But I'm glad you like that, because that is a personal favorite of mine. Because it makes me.
Did you see the Jim Carrey portrait?
Oh yes, it was very accurate.
And the precious fifis of the little white wingers were just permanently bruised as a result.
I mean, they melted quicker than snowflakes that we are. I couldn't believe it. Well, I could. But the other thing, too, before I let you go, because my dog is, like, going to probably start playing with her squeaky toy in here in a minute. But, which might be more entertaining than me on some days. That being said, I want to let everybody know that if you don't get catch the whole show, as long as it actually works and plays for us, you're on repeat now at 5 a.m. till 8 a.m. when we go live with Democracy Now.
Okay. Okay. Well, and of course we've got the rerun stream that goes here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So.
Yes. So
there's no excuse for not catching the whole program unless it's like, you know, gee, Bob, you suck.
Well, yeah, and even then, that's not an excuse because I mean, we all every once in a while must admit we check out Real Donald Trump's Twitter feed. I mean,
No, I respond to him all the time. It was just a matter of minutes ago during the break that I tweeted at him, listen, hiring a guy with a porn stash isn't going to help you with your porn star problem.
Did he tweet back yet? Oh,
no. No, I just can't. I don't know what you got to do to get banned, but the thing is, he stopped banning people because he got sued for banning for blocking people on Twitter. I didn't mean banned, I meant blocked. He got sued for blocking people on Twitter because, of course, his statements are official public official government documents.
Yes. And I've been followed by the and you should check this guy out. He's nearly as fun as on Twitter as our president. He might be president one day. I actually agreed with him about John Bolton. Representative Grant Chutley. Yes, that is his name. He's Missouri's 9th district. Sorry, Missouri. And he and I agree about John Bolton. Terrible choice. Neocon thug who puts America second after Israel and the defense firms. And then he did the sad exclamation point thing. Now, the whole Israel thing, that's a whole nother topic, but the terrible choice part, totally agree with him. He just didn't know what part that I agreed and didn't bother to ask and followed me. I love it when conservatives think I'm with them and they follow me and then they quickly realize I'm not. That's always cute. But I wanted to thank you, Bob, for your show and letting us run it on the network. And also let you know that if you can, I feel like Bob Barker with the whole spay and neuter your pets thing, adopt an animal. If you have the ability to, if you have the money to, because since I lost my beloved honey, this particular dog, Lizzie, I know you know, has been infectious on me and has definitely made things different. So, especially a shelter animal, because there are shelters that will do it on the cheap and it's really easy. And if you, it can open your home to, especially... an animal that might not get the first pick of the litter that you might fall in love with, I think would be important, especially now more than ever, if you can. And, of course, donate to you, because that's always something that I like to close with, because I already got my Soros check. It's just blank, and I can't understand why. It's not signed.
Oh, they damn it, they wrote it with the invisible ink again, I'll bet.
Yeah. They pulled a DT.
Oopsie. Yeah. Well, we got $330 to raise this evening, and then $200 tomorrow. $530 to finish the week. And I just sincerely hope that we can do that little thing.
Well, I hope you do, and I will be sending you probably closer to the 25th. $5 or $10 from FYNA.
Don't worry about it, Thomas. Don't worry about it, man. But Bob, I appreciate it. That's very kind of you.
You know, when I can do it, I can, and I can actually get away with it this month. So I know you. I know you don't like it, but when I can do it, I can. So that will be on its way. So I'm not quite sure how much yet, but $5 or $10. And if anybody else can do that when they can, please do.
Well, you know, if we had 33 people do $10, we'd be done for the evening.
There you go. In fact, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go on my PayPal right now, and I'm going to be one of the 33.
Well, thank you, Thomas. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate it very much.
And I hope everybody else can. So that means 32 that you need.
Right. We need 32 more people at $10 apiece. All right. Thank you, Thomas. You have yourself a good evening.
You too, my friend.
Bye now. That's our buddy Thomas from FYINation.com. Yeah, the stock market didn't have a good day today. It closed down 724 points at 23,957.89. It's dropped below 24,000. Largely on the news that Geezer Disgustus is going forward with his plan to impose massive tariffs on Chinese goods. The Walton family is going to love him. Oh, yes, the Walton family is going to adore him, and so will everybody else that imports stuff from China. The Dow just adored it. Who knows what how far it'll drop tomorrow. And the Chinese are prepared to respond, among other things. They're thinking about smacking the bejesus out of soybean imports. Curiously, all the leading soybean producers in the United States are states that fell hard for Trump in 2016. Yeah, they were a big riders on the Trump train. And, well, Trump just showed them how much he cares about them. Yeah, it's simply astonishing. Let's see here, just before I go back to the phones. Oh, where'd it go? Well, I had a list of potential targets for Chinese Chinese. There it is. There it is. Soybeans. A third of U.S. soybean exports go to China. It was $14 billion last year. And among other things, all the major soy states are maggot states. Talked about sorghums before. The largest sorghum producer in the United States is Kansas, followed by Texas, Colorado, and Oklahoma. That's $1 billion worth of sorghum going to China. And then there's airplanes. 25% of all of Boeing's output is purchased by China, the second largest aircraft market in the world. Right now, Airbus and Boeing split the Chinese market about 50-50. That's likely to go much higher in Airbus's favor with something like this. Before Donald Trump decided to do his best to crush the American economy, Boeing was figuring on selling something on the order of 3,600 commercial aircraft to China over the next 10 years. That's a lot of aircraft. That's a lot of jobs. That would affect jobs in South Carolina, Washington State, Kansas. Yeah. And there's lots more beyond that. And it just occurs to me that if you were to write some sort of a spy thriller where a mole got into the Oval Office, into the presidency, under orders from a foreign power to destroy the American economy, this would be kind of how you went about doing it, wouldn't it? Oh, yeah. Yeah, Marty says, wake me up when all the Chinese airlines cancel their order books with Boeing. Then we'll see they're serious. I have a feel. Airbus is every bit as good an aircraft, in some ways better. I wonder how those Trumpanzees working in South Carolina are going to feel about that. And how the supplier companies that supply the stuff that goes into building the airplanes are going to feel about that. Or how that maggot soybean farmer in Talabama is going to feel when he's got nowhere to sell his soybeans. I mean, we can't eat that much tofu, folks. Just can't. All right, let's go back over and check in with Charlie down in Tennessee. What's happening, Charlie?
Not much, Bob. I tried to call in last night. You were talking about the police shooting last night?
Yeah, in Sacramento.
A little over a year ago, there was another one down in Maricopa County, Arizona. I don't know if you covered that one or not.
I mean, there's been lots of police shootings over the last year or so.
And, you know, it seems like all you got to get is a Trumpanzee flag waver on the jury, and the police are going to walk. And I can't understand that. If they want me to respect their uniform, then they'll behave like humans. I'm sorry.
Well,
and this crap about being in fear of your life, no, I don't buy that.
I have since seen the helicopter video of the Sacramento PD gunning down this young man, or someone they say was the young man. And like I said last night, doesn't matter. There's no summary execution for vandalism.
Yeah.
And of course, they rushed right out to make sure that. And you know what? I actually went looking around trying to find out what a toolbar was. Still haven't found it.
You probably won't. I don't know. It's, you know, and I emailed the lawyer that Yanez's lawyer, he was from up in Pennsylvania. And, you know, I asked him, I said, you know, I said, if Yanez was innocent, why did he use all the colorful little four-letter words that he did after he murdered Mr. Castile? And, you know, I told him, I said, you're a pig. You are nothing but a pig. And, you know, it's...
You want to be careful sending emails like that.
Why?
Because they'll come after you.
Screw them. If they want to come after and kill me, hey, you know, that's a big man with his big police officer uniform on. We're going to get revenge on you. It sounds like a redneck, doesn't it? That's the type of trash that we have in our police department today. Used to, the police did not shoot people. You know, used to, the police were pretty good people. Now, you know, you got this guy that dusted somebody down in Maricopa County, and he was unarmed, and he had, you know, your F'd carved in the stock on his gun, and there was a civil settlement. You know, what really bothers me is you let these people off. You don't give them any. There's no criminal penalty if a cop shoots somebody, and it happened down here in Lebanon, Tennessee, back I think it was either 2000 or 2001, there was a police lieutenant that took the word of a drug user, and he actually kicked the door in of the wrong house, and a guy went and came down the steps with a cap and ball pistol, and the police murdered him. But now this police lieutenant actually went to jail over that. But it doesn't happen that way anymore, because we just don't have good people in this country anymore.
Well, understand, Charlie, there's a reason why you can have a civil settlement and no criminal charges. Criminal charges have to be proven beyond a reasonable doubt. Okay, it's the highest standard of proof that we have. Civil charges have to be proven by a preponderance of the evidence.
Yeah.
Which means, beyond a reasonable doubt is like 99% sure. Preponderance of the evidence is 50% plus 0.00001. So it's a much lower standard of proof, and so therefore you're more likely to see settlements out of police shootings than you are criminal prosecutions. This doesn't mean, this isn't to say it's wrong, because, look, the shooting out of Tulsa where the woman was caught dead to rights, the cop blowing the man away, when it was clear, I mean, they had helicopter video. He wasn't doing anything. And they just let her walk because that is the power that that uniform and that badge has.
And it shouldn't have that power.
But for the most part, when people are sitting on a jury, the lawyers don't argue it this way. They wouldn't be allowed to. But jurors are sitting there saying, well, someday I might need the police. I don't want them to be afraid to do their job.
If I was on a jury, I'd just tell him, I'd say, do you believe that crap about him fearing for his life when the person that he shot had no weapon? I got more sense than to believe that. Are you people that stupid? And yes, I listen to the judge's instructions, and there's nothing in the Constitution that says I have to follow the judge's instructions. All it says, you'll be judged by a jury of your peers. So we're going to have a retrial here. And no matter what you all do, I'm not changing my vote. And I just tell them that.
Well, someday you may get that chance.
You know, I'm sorry. I mean, you know, whenever I was growing up back in the late 50s, early 60s, police officers didn't shoot people. I mean, my God, now they do it for sport. And they say, well, my life, I felt threatened for my life. And, you know, I don't believe that. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. And, you know, I mean, possibly we need to get Angry Indian on the line here. I don't know if he would call back in or not, but, you know, he probably has a little bit to say about this too.
Well, the bottom line is, I just had a note from someone who lives in Sacramento who said, as you know, I live in the Sacramento area. My aunt and I were discussing that incident. We haven't heard any reports on the news of windows being broken in the area.
Yeah, you said that last night.
Well, no, I mean, that's what the excuse was. But this is someone who lives there saying, no. This is an email that I just got.
I mean, you know, this guy Yanez, I wouldn't pee on him if he was on fire.
Talking about the guy in Minnesota.
I'd just tell him, I'd say, hey, dude, you screwed up. Now you need to go to Mr. Castile's widow and his family, and you need to make things right with them. Probably help support them a little bit. And then we'll talk. But this just, you know, you yelling four-letter words at them and stuff like that, that don't work with me. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It just, that doesn't work with me. I wasn't raised that way. And, you know, it aggravates me. I mean, to see, you know, the cops just go out and shoot somebody and they say, hey, my life felt threatened. Can I get off now? It's pathetic. It is really pathetic.
Well, it's also not likely to change, Charlie.
Yeah, I know that.
Because
we don't
have any particular interest in changing it.
Well, when somebody shoots somebody that's unarmed, and especially if they weren't doing anything, then we need to change that. I don't know how that precedent got accepted, that legal precedent, that all a cop has to do is say, hey, my life was threatened. Can I get off now? I mean, you know, that in itself right there is wrong. That is terribly wrong. I'm sorry.
Well, it is. Well, Charlie, I appreciate hearing from you, my friend.
Okie doke. And keep up the good work.
All right. You take care now. Later.
Okie doke. Bye.
It's our buddy Charlie calling from Tennistan. There are, God, there are so many moments to deal with, and again, stuff that doesn't, non-Trumpy stuff that's out there too. The only problem being that it's a damn chore to get to them. Just because of all the other stuff that's there. But get to them we shall. Or at least make a mighty fine effort at it. Let's see here. Let's go check. Jim said he had some sort of big day today. What happened, Jim?
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
I'm good.
I can barely hear you. Your volume's kind of low.
I can't do anything about it, Jim.
That's okay. I did something really, really bizarre this afternoon. Have you ever heard of something called Bag Bob?
Yes.
Well, you know, it comes and look like little green tins that are real pretty.
Yeah.
And I was using the tail end of an Amazon gift card. And I sent this to Miss Sarah Ironbox Sanders.
You did not.
Yes, I did. And I put a note with it. The girl in the Philippines said, what do you want to say with this? And I said, I know it gets hot under those TV lights, but this is for you.
Bag bomb.
And it's real good stuff because I use it. I get dry skin. It's great. And it's also good. And it does prevent, and I ended my note, and I said, this prevents utter destruction.
Yeah, because it was originally developed for treating the udders of dairy cattle, yes.
That's what I put on the note, and if I can get a copy of it, I'll send it to you.
All right, well, that'll be fine. You can just photograph it and put it in an email.
That's right, and, you know, I went to high school girls with two twins. We call them the Ironbox twins. And she looks just like them.
Well, I feel bad for the Ironbox twins.
So how have you been? You sound better than you did last night.
Oh, I was fine last night, too. I'm just... I was out wandering around and just... I had a neat little drive down, you know, the road follows Dunloop Creek down to the New River, and it was just, you could feel the history all around you. And,
oh, yeah.
I mean, it's just kind of weird. When you get down there, there are photographs of the old Dunglen Hotel.
Yeah, you said.
And you know, to know that there was that, ghost towns are strange places, and it's not just the presence of the word ghost in the term, it's the fact that you know that there was so much humanity there, and then poof,
oh,
just gone.
Yeah.
And the little town that's there, Thurmond, for anybody who's ever seen Matewan, John Sayles' film about the Matewan gunfight, that's where it was filmed, in Thurmond.
Yep. I do remember you saying that. Oh, and by the way, getting back to Bolton, I'm really surprised that Trump let him do that.
Let who do what?
Well, he doesn't. You know, Trump does not like mustaches.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Oh yeah, it was a big, it was a lulala or something like that, and so it was mentioned.
Well, come
that,
to think about it, everybody is clean shaven in his.
He doesn't like mustaches, so they said that might be one of the oppositions to his appointment.
That's, I mean, the of course, you know, Steve Bannon always looked like he just woke up after a 6-day drunk.
Well, you know, when you work for Donald Trump, you always have a little, little appendage to your list of duties, performs other duties as a side. And I figured that Trump said, well, since half these people, I think, want to be dealing for me, that shock absorber of old Bolton's would come in handy.
You're being incorrigible again.
Why?
I don't know. Maybe it's my dirty mind.
Nah, the dirty mind is a terrible thing to waste.
Well, that's the absolute truth.
So, anyway, I just thought I would tell you that. I wonder if they're going to, I don't give a shit if they do. But I did send it to her, and I had the correct address and all that. So if you want to send her something, you can.
Well, I'll refrain because people are kind of probably a little bit nervous about receiving unsolicited packages these days after that fine young Christian man down in Austin decided to send some bombs all over town.
Well, there ain't nothing wrong with this. I mean, it's in a metal tin, and it's hermetically sealed with plastic.
Now, if only Sarah Hustlebuck Sandbags was. Never mind.
Hi.
Nothing. That was a bad joke. Just bad joke. All right, Jim. Well, I'm glad you reached out and did your good deed for the day.
Well, I think other people ought to do the same. Let that gal know what kind of job she's doing.
I don't think they much care, Jim, to be quite honest.
Well, she's
I mean, their job is to destroy the idea of government in the United States.
Well, of course it is.
And to the extent that they are happily doing that, then their masters and their handlers think they're doing a fabulous job.
Well, one from one day to the next. You just never can tell with the current administration. I mean, exactly. You know, it's kind of like working for Stalin. You never know when you're going to come into your office and your name's gone, and then after right that, you're gone. Of course, in his case, it was a little bit different. They came and got you the night before your government housing. Don't you know?
Exactly.
And I just, let me see, there was something else I wanted to ask you about. Since you are the great word door and the fount of much knowledge.
Oh, dear. This is going to be trouble.
Nah. I'll tell you an email first, tell you what it was. I can't think of what it is. Must be that medicine I'm on. But anyway, you know, you talk about having
cabin fever. Is it that medicine that comes from Scotland?
Well, it has something to do with that.
Cures what ails you?
Well, it certainly does. I mean, you know, it's quite beneficial, and I recommend it highly. And in most cases, I do. And Johnny and I have been friends for Scottish whiskey and stuff like that. Now, there's some Scotch malts that I cannot abide.
Johnny's just a... Johnny's just a nice,
a
blended, relatively smooth, you know. But, yeah, no, there's some that has, and it's a matter of whether you like it or not. I mean, there's one called Lagavulin. It's an Islay malt. and it about tastes like medicine. And you either love it or you hate it.
Yeah, there's another called Lafroig.
Yeah, Lafroig.
Huh?
Yeah, that's too. The Islays,
I can't say that either.
But it's, you know, it is Scotch is sui generis in the whiskey world.
Well, yeah, it is. You know, and with some people who can't stand it, like a lot of people just love bourbon. They just swear by it. And Mom, I don't care what kind of bourbon it is, I cannot abide the taste of it.
Really?
It is just too sweet. I just cannot stand it. It's just like medicine to me. Now, to other people, Scotch has the same effect.
Where do you come down on Irish whiskey?
Irish whiskey, Jameson's.
I mean, but you like Irish?
It's okay, yeah. But, you know, as Barson would say to George, never mix, never worry. And so I just kind of stuck with Johnny Walker Red or, in rare occasions, black.
Yeah, because can't nobody afford that blue.
Uh-uh, no.
And frankly, to spend that kind of money on blended whiskey just kind of, no.
Afraid it's just not, practical. If you were like George Soros or somebody like that, it wouldn't make any difference. But anyway, you know.
What about Chivas Regal?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Very good. Very good.
You prefer that to Johnny?
You know, it's been so long since I've had Chivas, I can't even think. Probably so. I knew my brother-in-law used to drink it, and I'd go over to his house at Christmas, and he had always had Chivas, 12 years old, stuff like that. But after a couple of drinks, I really could tell the difference between that and Johnny Walker.
Well, you get enough drinks in you, and you can't tell the difference between that and old Panther piss either, for that matter.
Now, that's true. And that can be quite true. But as far as drinks are concerned, now we're talking about alcoholic drinks, there is one that I did get a good taste of that I will never, ever forget. And that was Genuine White Lightning.
Oh, yeah.
Out of a mason jar.
I've had it made out of peaches. I've had it made out of apples. I've had it made out of raisins. And I've had it made out of corn.
Well, you have a couple of drinks. I have a pretty high tolerance for alcohol. You know, like I say, you need it over the years that I've been through. But if you're going to be messing around with that stuff in the mason jar, my friend, you had best have a place you sit down.
Oh, I would suggest having a place to be able to go fully horizontal.
Yeah, well,
preferably with no distance between you and the floor.
True. But that has got to be the strongest stuff. I don't know how it got it down. You talk about a torchlight procession. My God, I felt like the whole Scottish Grenadiers or the Russian Grenadiers had gone down my throat.
We're marching behind your eyeballs.
Oh, God, yes. I mean, I really don't see how people can drink that stuff. I mean,
it's a matter of the distiller's art, Jim. There are people who are good at it and people who aren't. And people who are good at it and have really, really good distillation set up so that you know that, you know, it hadn't been run through the radiator of an old 57 Edsel. The people who can do it well. And it's a matter of how you ferment and what your mash is. And I had some a few years back that was made from nothing but pears. And it wasn't sweet, but
what
it
kind of, a pear?
Yeah, pears, you know, the fruit.
I thought you said hair.
Pears.
Oh, okay.
And it was just, you know, it had that pear essence to it, but it wasn't, you know, it hadn't been sweetened or anything. And it was just mind-bogglingly good. And then, you know, you get over into the Eastern Mediterranean, and you get people making the stuff they call Raki, R-A-K-I.
I've had it.
And it's made from the skins and the remaining fruit after the pressings for the wine. And that stuff will get you where you're going in a hurry.
Yes, it will. It'll lock you right down. Absolutely.
And the question is, you know, what do you, you know, how much do you cut it? And you've got to know the science behind specific gravity and things like that, and how much pure branch water to add to it to cut it down to say 140 proof or something.
Yep, you certainly need to know how to handle that stuff. Incidentally, in closing, I used to watch this program called Boo Chiners, and there's this one guy who went legit in Virginia.
Oh, yeah.
And he's made this, I don't know if it's vodka or if it's Boo Chiner, but he called me Climax.
Well, I knew one of the folks who was on the Hatfields and McCoys moonshining reality series that fell apart after a couple of years, and they were going to make some halfway, but it turned out to be a big old, more or less of a scam. That liquor did.
But still the best
way to get it is to not get something mass produced, but get it from what we like to call now an artisanal distiller. They're not moonshiners anymore, Jim. They're artisanal distillers.
Maybe that's what he set up over there. Father, he and another guy went together, and he took his recipes and his and was this guy's equipment, and oh, the Lord, the steps they had to take in order to get it legally produced are just incredible. I mean, the federal government really comes out hard on it. So.
Oh, they do. But if you ever, I tell you what, if you ever get any of the homemade stuff, and it's made out of plums. Woo!
Yeah, these slipper bits?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yes, God. How do I know? Oh, yeah. That's good stuff.
Oh, yeah. You'll dream dreams and see visions with that.
Will do. Well, listen, I just wanted to share with you and your fellow co-travelers that... Well, if they don't hear from me after a while, well, I guess they came and picked me up. But I just said, to hell with this. I'm sick of this shit, and I'm going to let them know how I feel, but in a nice way.
In a positively genteel South Carolina sort of way.
Precisely. And there's nothing they can do with chemicals because there's nothing wrong with
bag balm.
Exactly.
B-A-L-M. B-A-L-M, just for anybody out there who's having trouble with the language.
And when you get them in a twist, then put on the bag balm.
Exactly. Jim, you have yourself a good evening, my friend.
Good night.
Later. You know, sometimes I think Jim was probably a terrifying practical joker in his heyday. Let's see. Lo and behold, we start talking booze, and along comes I start getting the feedback. Flavio says, "I love Maker's Mark." Before that, it was Jack Daniel's. Maker's Mark. I can remember when it was a thing. Way, way back. Now it's just another whiskey that's owned by Suntory Brands. But it's far, I don't even drink anymore. But my favorite down there was the Woodford Reserve. As between the two, Woodford Reserve and Maker's Mark, just for, you know, a bottle of whiskey. Woodford Reserve, without a doubt. And I did not know this. Ron and Raleigh just shared this. Did you know that Johnny Walker is dropping the man in the top hat and replacing him with a woman? Is nothing sacred? And how about Haig and Haig Pinch? Oh, I've had Pinch. But I like my single malts. But the problem is, it's so in vogue that if a feller were to be a Scotch drinker right now, you can't hardly get a decent bottle of single malt Scotch for less than $75, and that's crazy. I mean, that's just nuts. No, I have not had that. Brother Deacon Asa says, you ever had that Old Smoky that comes in mason jars from Tennessee? It's maximum snake swill. It does let you down in a hurry, too. Now, I saw some that was intriguing, that was a rye moonshine, and I thought, that could be interesting. But no. Of course, what used to be, it used to be the big deal was Ripple and Annie Green Springs and Mad Dog 2020. And I guess that's been replaced by something, and I see it every time I go into the Rippy Mart. Something called Bootlegger. And it comes, it's got these neon colors to it and comes in pint bottles and just outrageous flavors. I mean, the green is goddamn green. And I've never tasted it. Don't ever hope to. Don't ever want to. But who was it? Somebody on this program told me that was the replacement. That's the modern day Mad Dog. So we're 5 minutes past the hour. We still got $320 to go in fundraising for this evening. And it would be awfully nice if we could knock that down so that we're not sweating things on Friday just to finish up. $320 to go, and 520 total. Just to get to the end of fundraising for March, and we'll ride the rest of the way via the subscribers. So there we go, 320 for tonight, 520 total. And Scott and Punky are with us. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Bob. Staggering up to the old bar. One hardly knows where to begin when it comes to booze.
Generally by uncorking the bottle.
You mentioned a libation that is plum-based. The closest thing that I've ever had that has a plum sort of ingredient was some years ago. Correct me if I'm wrong, because I think I know this from somewhere, but I'm a little fuzzy. Plums, when you dry out plums, don't they become prunes?
That they do.
Okay. Well, this stuff was called Black Lightning, and it was a blend of prune juice and Chablis.
Oh, my God.
And whoever said that lightning doesn't strike twice never had black lightning.
That just sounds like a disaster. Oh my God, no. What I was talking about was, and Jim immediately knew the name of the stuff. It's an Eastern European potable called Slivovitz, and I think it generally runs about 110 proof.
I don't know what it is.
If you don't drink the whole bottle, you can just pour it in your car.
Can you refill your lighter with it, your Zippo?
It's just about. It's plum-based liquor. And I don't mean liqueur. I mean liquor.
Yeah. No, I missed her.
Ah, that's a
myth. No, I missed her, too. anyway. Ba-dum-bum. And on moonshine, no. Anyway, this black lightning stuff. It's fortunate that
I can't even contemplate that. I mean, oh.
Well, the 70s were a wild time.
You must. I mean, if you're going to drink, I mean, you could probably have a few slugs of that and be ready for a colonoscopy.
You wouldn't need one. Well, yeah, you're right. That prep, that overnight, that stuff you take the night before, good Lord.
Yeah, and if you're still good and fried by the time you go in the next morning, you don't have to have the milk of amnesia.
Yeah. But it was good. It was fortunate that the one time I tried it was in the 70s, because that was back in the age of burnt
orange. Jesus, what are you mixing it half and half or something? That's horrible.
Well, it was
horrible.
You talk about something that will lay you down. And this was back in the 70s when burnt orange-colored shag carpets were in vogue. So if you were laid down by this stuff, you could grip the carpet, you know, to keep the universe from spinning and rotating and gyrating all at once, you know, on three axes. Visions of Peter Max paintings exploding in your cranium. It was,
Wait a minute. Small jingle for that. This is probably the only program in the world that has had a reference to Peter Max this evening. So,
I ought to, if I can get my hands on some, I ought to put a dollop into Punky's water dish and see if that mellows him out some.
Mellows? I think it would probably you'd probably wind up with a Punky would be pining for the fjords.
He sure would. He's not dead. He's pining. But moonshine, here's something I found out. I'd never even considered it. Earlier this month, I had to call my friends at AT&T U-verse to downgrade my cable package. And the operator I got was, the representative I got was down in Texas somewhere. And somehow, while we were waiting to do something, we got on the topic of booze, and she was saying that down there at wherever they buy alcohol, they offer legal moonshine, you know, that's taxed and
right.
And I had never considered such a thing, and I've never had moonshine, and I've never had scotch, to tell you the truth. My older brother's been trying to get me over to scotch for a long time, but I don't have an affinity for the brown liquors. And maybe that dates back to my years back also in the 70s when I used to drink Seagram 7 and 7 Up. And I never had...
Well, you're in San Diego, so it won't much matter if they pull your Virginian card for what you just said, I guess.
What?
That you have no affinity for brown liquor.
Well, I don't. I never have. And I don't know what Seagram 7 is. I guess it's some kind of blended whiskey.
Yeah, it's Canadian. It's cheap Canadian blended whiskey.
The following morning was never pleasant with when I used to drink 7 and 7s.
Oh, that was all the sugar in the 7 up that made it. Yeah.
Well, maybe I need to listen to you and my brother, my older brother, and try some scotch.
Or just whatever you're going after. Don't be pouring a bunch of sugary shit in it, because that's where part of the hangover comes from.
Okay. Well, I didn't know that. You're just a font of knowledge. You truly are.
It's hard gained, but you know, rule one, dance with the woman what brung you. Don't sit down and be a little fraternity boy and say, well, I'm going to start with the rum, and then after that I'm going to have some gin, and then I think I'll have some sliff of its. And if it's a tequila night, it's a tequila night. If it's a bourbon night, it's a bourbon night.
Yeah, and I do know that. I don't know what the combination was that I had one evening many, many years ago, but that also was not pleasant the next day. But anyway, to return the favor knowledge-wise, and I thought I had sent this to you before, and it turns out I hadn't, so I went ahead and sent you the link a little while ago. I recently discovered a PDF document that I haven't finished reading yet, but I have pretty much the gist of it, by a gentleman from Canada, I think, by the name of Bob Altemeyer.
And I'm actually familiar with his work.
Okay. Well, I sent you the PDF of his work called The Authoritarians, and we wonder how we got Trump and how we got the Trump minions, the mindless Trump minions. And I think his research on authoritarianism can shed some light on that for these two reasons. Now, just to give you some of his background, as I understand it, in the aftermath of World War II, there was a study or a number of studies conducted to determine the possibilities of fascism as we witnessed in World War II ever coming to America. And in the course of this, these various studies that they did and research, they determined that there are people who are prone to being, to coming under the thumb of an authoritarian person who scored very high on the personality tests in terms of followers, and they were high on the results level. And then there were those who, on the personality test, scored high in terms of being an authoritarian person in a position of leadership. But there were these another group of people who scored high on both as far as being a minion or being a leader, and they were double highs. And this PDF goes into all of that. And if people want to check it out, it's all one word, theauthoritarians.org. And like I say, I haven't read the whole thing, but what I've read has been quite interesting and very scary when you think that of so many people among us, especially in today's world. And it's the same with Putin. There are those in Russia, ordinary everyday citizens, who think that he is just the best thing to come along since, sliced bread that you don't have to stand in line for, you know?
Yeah.
So, but anyway, I sent you the link. If you've never seen that particular piece of work, it's well worth the time to read it.
Well, I like I said, I have read his work in the past. I think John Dean was one of the first people to or made a big deal out of his work back in the Bush era.
Yeah, he did. Actually, that's where I learned about it. And I don't know, the other day he was quoted, he was on one of the shows, and John Dean was quoted as saying that Trump is Nixon on steroids and stilts, which is a little scary.
Yeah, with a 50-point IQ deficit.
Well, yeah. Yeah, because at least Nixon, you know, had served in office before. Okay, he was a lawyer, so there's that. He's had military service during World War II, so there's that. And he served in the House of Representatives and the Senate and as vice president. So it could be said that he has practical experience, okay? Trump, on the other hand, no. He's a reality show. He's a sideshow barker, first and foremost. But his claim to fame, most of his popularity was as a primetime network TV reality, or as I put it, unreality show host. And that's who a bunch of people decided, hey, this guy would make a stellar president. As my first grade teacher, Sister Clarice, who was from Ireland, used to say, saints above preserve us.
Indeed.
So that will be, I'll make that my brief contribution unless you want to talk about something else. I thought I would toss that in along with the verbiage about booze. Let's have some booze.
Yeah, and yeah, I love that word, booze, you know.
Yes, I want some booze. Bring me a big old plate of booze, and I'll lap it up.
You know, there are two things. There are two things about Donald Trump that should probably be disturbing to most anybody. One, he claims he doesn't drink. That means he's that fucked up without help.
There you go.
Two, I think he's the first president since the 19th century not to have a pet.
Yeah.
Not even a bird. Not even a damn goldfish.
Not even a hermit crab. And I've got to think that's probably one of the most useless pets one could ever have.
Well, that's true. We brought hermit crabs home from the beach for the grandbabies and stuff, and then they have their ceremonial burial at sea.
You can't pet them, you can't cuddle them, they don't interact in any discernible way.
But it's fun when you can catch them changing shells.
Yeah, but how often?
And as crabs go, they're not tasty.
Well, that's true. There are some tasty crabs that I'm thinking about Maryland blue shell. Hard shell blue crabs.
Yeah, and by the way, Darlene in Connecticut just wrote in and said, "Well, Scott's making it harder on himself. You're on the hook for more stuff now, Scott." Now what? Scott needs to watch Squidbillies while swigging scotch, followed by a moonshine chaser. And you know what? I have to tell you, if anything, that may be, as it turns out, the perfect way to watch Squidbillies.
Yeah, but I'll have to get a burnt orange shag carpet first, because that combination sounds like it's going to lay my ass right out.
Oh, and Black Lightning, by the way. Ron in Raleigh said, Black Lightning's the name of a superhero show on the CW. Meanwhile, I used to give a friend of mine a bottle of single malt every Christmas. The last two Christmases, I had to downgrade to Woodford Reserve and Jefferson Special Reserve. That Jefferson's, I'm told, is pretty decent stuff. Dan wrote in. Dan gets a cowbell. Prune liquor. Dan says simply, that stuff sounds like a pile driver. You're evil, Dan. You're just evil. And then Albert says, you ever heard of Gentleman Jack? Oh, of course. He says, I think it's older than their Black Label. I'm not sure of that. I think it's up marketing. Twice double filtered through their charcoal. I'm not a big Tennessee whiskey. There's no present tense with any of this. But I was never a big Tennessee whiskey guy.
Well, what is the distinction regarding Tennessee whiskey?
I know
Kentucky bourbon.
Well, bourbon's a whiskey that has to be at least 52% corn in the mash. The funny thing, as between the Tennessee whiskeys, I always preferred George Dickel over Jack Daniels. I thought Jack Daniels is just so much marketing, you know, the eponymous label and the square bottle and all of that stuff. by the way, Renee pointing out, technically, Bob, the White House did have vermin pet infestation, but that's not nice talking about the Trump kids that way. But no, seriously, the man doesn't drink, and he doesn't like dogs or cats. I like to think of that as the Twain scale. Twain would say never trust a man who doesn't like cats. On the other hand, W.C. Fields is once was alleged to have said anyone who hates children and small dogs can't be all bad. So, I don't know, maybe Fields, I can't imagine Fields being a Trump fan.
Well, Fields was a big gin drinker. Maybe that was his problem. You should have switched over to brown liquor.
What was the remark? He went to take a swig and he said, hey, who put the coffee in my coffee?
The pineapple juice.
It's nanny goat's milk. It's very sweet. Yeah. Anyway, Scott, you have yourself a good evening. We'll talk
soon.
Okay, Bob. All right, later now.
See ya.
Bye. Our buddy Scott and Punky. The things we get into in this program, and the things that catch your attention. Personally, I think that's the idea of the night. I got a I got a cowbell for Darlene there because, my God, I can't imagine. I cannot imagine watching the Squidbillies after, and just sort of chugging along, drinking scotch and chasing it with moonshine. Dear Jesus! You'd probably spontaneously evolve into a rare North Georgia mountain squid or whatever it is the Kyler clan is. Whew! No, I said there was other stuff to get into this evening, and yeah, I'm sorry, I keep beating on it. We're at $330, so it looks like we're probably going to be at $530 tomorrow evening. Boy. Now, this is an interesting story coming from the Daily Beast, and of course, I'm sure that somewhere there's some precious little soul who's writing a barely comprehensible screed about this even as we speak. But the Daily Beast is reporting today, Spencer Ackerman and Kevin Polson, that Guccifer 2.0, of whom much has been discussed, the so-called lone hacker who is credited with funneling DNC emails to WikiLeaks. Well, the Daily Beast has learned that Guccifer 2.0, it turns out he's an officer in Russian military intelligence, the GRU. How? Well, they screwed up ever so briefly. Robert Mueller apparently has taken over the probe into Guccifer and brought FBI agents onto the team to track the individual. The most important factor being that Guccifer 2.0, if this turns out to be true, takes the hacking all the way inside the Kremlin. It also has a little something to do with a word that keeps getting bandied about and I don't care much for, called the word is collusion. I don't give a fuck about collusion. I care about conspiracies. Not conspiracy theory, but actual criminally, statutorily defined acts of conspiracy in which two or more people agree to do an illegal act and one or more of the people in so agreeing take a substantial step toward the completion of the criminal act. You may recall that Roger Stone has not made any new... Not made any bones about his ongoing contacts with Guccifer. Stone, of course, was an early proponent of the Stop Blaming Russia movement, which was heartily adopted by some simple folks over on the so-called left. Ha! What left? Guccifer 2.0 has been around since June 15th, 2016. And pretended, as the Daily Beast reports, to be a lone hacker. Well, it was hard to prove the link, but on one occasion, Guccifer failed to activate his VPN client before logging in. And as a result of that one little fleeting moment, the server logs of an American social media company got a traceable Moscow IP address. So using that IP address, Guccifer was identified by people investigating here in this country as a particular GRU officer working out of GRU headquarters on Grizzo du Beauvoir Street. And GRU, in turn, runs Fancy Bear, the hacking organization that was initially, that was behind the DNC email theft. Not to mention attacks on NATO, the Obama White House, a French TV station, the World Anti-Doping Agency, and any number of other organizations. So, curiouser and curiouser, said Alice. A couple of other things. This is just mind-numbingly stupid. You may recall that the head of the anti-opioid use effort, if you can even call it that, inside the White House, is none other than Kellyanne Conway. Well, today, she sat down in a panel discussion about the opioid crisis at Generation Next, which is a forum for so-called millennials. And she wanted to explain to the millennials what fentanyl is. I don't think many millennials need to have it explained to them, but, well, whatever. But apparently, the ghost of Nancy Reagan is floating around and has apparently decided to inhabit the, and why you'd want to, if you were any kind of self-respecting ghost, I don't know, the body of Kellyanne Conway. You might want to get the hockey puck and the duct tape out for this one. 4, 3, 2, 1.
Today we're going to talk about crises, plural, on campus. And we'll have a specific examination of two of those crises, opioids and drugs. And the second one will be about speech on campus, something that Charlie Kirk of Turning Point touched upon in the last panel. So just this past Monday, two short days ago, President Trump and members of his cabinet, including Attorney General Sessions and Secretary Azar, went up to New Hampshire, where the president delivered his policy rollout on how to combat the opioid crisis, which we call the crisis next door, and also drugs overall. You hear an awful lot about opioids today, and it's a very serious crisis in our nation, but heroin use is up, meth use is up, all types of illicit drugs coming over our southern border, in our mails, frankly, and elsewise. And if you remember anything about the entire conversation on drugs, I would commend to you one major point, and it's called fentanyl. Fentanyl is a synthetic opioid. Most of America suffers from information underload when it comes to the horrors and the dangers and really the toxicity and lethality of fentanyl. It is synthetically produced. It comes into this country through a couple of different ways, and it is got the potency, 50 times the potency of heroin, 100 times the potency of morphine.
You know, maybe she could start out and be a little bit more helpful to these impressionable young millennials if she would actually pronounce the name of the damn substance. It's not fentanyl. It's fentanyl. N-Y-L with the Y pronounced as a short I. Fentanyl. Fentanyl, huh? But, you know, this really isn't that particularly important to this White House because, you know, who cares? It's like I mentioned last night, the wingnut who, upon hearing that the Clinton Foundation was providing Narcan nasal spray to college campuses, said, well, they're cheating Darwin. Yeah, these maggots enjoy it when people die. Because, you know, they're Christian that way. I mean, there's no debate on the spelling and pronunciation of the word. F-E-N-T-A-N-Y-L. Fentanyl. Not fentanyl. But that's not even that's not even the real problem here. The real problem's coming up, and you're going to take a great big honking bite out of your hockey puck if you're not careful.
The horrors and the dangers and really the toxicity and lethality of fentanyl. It is synthetically produced. It comes into this country through a couple of different ways, and it is got the potency, 50 times the potency of heroin, 100 times the potency of morphine. And what's happening on our college campuses and elsewhere, but since we're talking to you today, I will say on our college campuses, your folks are reading the labels. They won't put any sugar in their body. They don't eat carbs anymore. And they're very, very fastidious about what goes into their body. And then you buy a street drug for $5 or $10. It's laced with fentanyl, and that's it.
You know, I've kind of got an idea that those are separate groups. The, oh my God, I've got to make sure that I get a gluten-free venti latte cappuccino half-calf with soy foam group is not the same group as let's go out and score a dime bag of smack group. By the time you're into scoring the smack, you've kind of taken a powder on a lot of the, maybe I'm wrong. But it does sort of, you know, scoring kind of takes over your life. And keeping, you know, keeping yourself from jonesing becomes very important because getting dope sick is not a pleasant thing. I've seen it. I know people who have endured it. I know people who have died in this crisis. And this is, you know, this is nothing that, nothing to be made light of. And I would suggest that a goddamn moron like Kellyanne Conway really is not the best face for this. But if you're going to make her the face of it, at least make sure she knows. Because some of the problems that led to the opioid crisis to begin with have to do with things that even doctors didn't understand. Hydrocodone hit the market, and it was marketed aggressively by the drug pushers, I mean pharmaceutical companies, for its miraculous pain-relieving power. Yeah, okay, right. Wait a minute. Ron in the far frozen north gets a cowbell. Because Ron says, what? Wait, vegetarian pizza is a gateway drug? Oh, everything's a gateway drug now, isn't it? Yeah, be careful of that avocado toast, young millennials. The next thing you know, you'll be out trying to score a fix of the marijuanas to stick up your nose or something, right? But seriously, one of the problems had to do with the fact that doctors heard the word hydrocodone. And it sounded somewhat cognate to the word codeine. Now, codeine can very much be a problem. I can remember back in the 90s, I had a dear friend who referred to a little problem in among a handful of folks in the little town where we lived. He referred to them as the codeine carpool. And they'd get their various scripts and they'd trot them around. And but this is before hydrocodone got a real good grip on the culture. And part of that grip was obtained because doctors saw hydrocodone and codeine, and they thought that they were roughly equivalent. Just as she was describing fentanyl as being monumentally more powerful than morphine, so too hydrocodone is monumentally more powerful than codeine. Hydrocodone is more powerful than codeine. There are places in this world where to this day you can wander into the chemist's shop and you can purchase over-the-counter, at least unless it's changed recently, you could purchase over-the-counter a bottle of aspirin mixed with codeine or acetaminophen mixed, you know, Tylenol, mixed with codeine. And it was a no biggie. And people weren't, you know, it was just a tiny little bit of codeine, just enough to do the job, and no problem. So doctors saw codeine, hydrocodone, and they thought they were dealing with some sort of chemical kissing cousin. They weren't. They weren't. And that's part of how the problem got started. But the idea that Kellyanne Conway is going to relate to any millennial who isn't a maggot one is a drop dead failure. But secondly, that she is so oblivious to the workings of the culture that she's talking to, that she thinks that the vegan tofu scrambler crowd is the same thing as the opioid abuse crowd. I mean, one can transfer from one to the other, but no.
And what's happening on our college campuses and elsewhere, but since we're talking to you today, I will say on our college campuses, your folks are reading the labels. They won't put any sugar in their body. They don't eat carbs anymore. And they're very, very fastidious about what goes into their body. And then you buy a street drug for $5 or $10. It's laced with fentanyl. And that's it. So I guess my short advice is, as somebody double your age, eat the ice cream, have the French fry, don't buy the street drug.
Eat the ice cream, eat the French fry, don't buy the street drug. do like I do, and get the really good pharmaceuticals. Not off the street like Rush Limbaugh did.
Did you hear the unease in the laughter there? I don't know if people had to pay to go to Generation Next, but if they did, they just paid to get Just Say No'd. And of course, this goes hand in hand with the stupidity of Donald Trump saying, and we're going to have wonderful ads that'll tell people not to do these drugs.
Yeah, see that. That ship's sailed, because the reliability of the federal government as a broker of honest information about substance abuse kind of got trampled after the this is your brain on drugs. Just say no, don't smoke the marijuanas thing. Because, you know, if you tell a young person something and they believe you, and then they try it and they find out that you're fucking lying to them, they don't believe you anymore. And so to the extent that the utterly failed war on drugs is wrapped up in what you just heard, it too will fail. And it will be, and the danger of it is that she won't be believed. Because she is not believable. So, yeah, that. Oh, speaking of drugs, however, let's go down to Arkansas, shall we? Little place called Paragould. It's just a few miles east of Walnut Ridge, and even a fewer miles south of Marmaduke. Paragould is. And a fella in Paragould, well, he needed to pay his water bill. And so he went to the water company after hours drop box with his water bill. And James Hoey, aged 66, put his cash in the envelope and then accidentally stuck in 7.1 grams of crystal meth. No, really. So the water company went to collect from the drop box, and somebody says, wait a minute, somebody's paying their water bill with crystal meth around here. Well, it is Arkansas. But since it was in an envelope with the guy's name on it, James Hoey, and his account number and his address, the local constabulary showed up and asked him and said, did you pay your water bill with the meth there, Mr. Hoey? Well, I guess I did. I didn't mean to. So they got him a search warrant, and when they went through his house, they found 45 grams of crystal meth and 3 ounces of pot. They also found some smoking devices and a set of scales. This was all right on the pages of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. He said, yeah, it must have been a mistake I made. I'll bet. So the police then looked at James Hoey, age 66, of Paragould, just down the road from Marmaduke. And he said, are you a meth dealer, sir? To which Mr. Hoey replied, no, not really. meth, you know. No, not really. I only sell to 2 or 3 or 4 people. That's all. Not really a dealer. Yeah, oh, well. Yeah. So, that Generation Next summit that I mentioned? Well, Geezer Disgustus showed up for it, too. Ostensibly a serious discussion of some sort. But once again, because we have a 71-year-old toddler in the office of the president, it became all about him. Call the wambulance, because there's going to be some whining.
I'll tell you what, they get a lot of publicity, but you go to the real campuses and you go all over the country. You go out to the Middle West, you go out even to the coast in many cases. We have a tremendous support. I would say we have majority support. I think it's highly overblown, highly overblown.
I totally agree, and we see it on the ground. And so people say, hey, I'm a Trump supporter. I'm just not allowed to say it because of the culture that's been created by the administrators and the professors. And
Wait a minute. Okay. So college campuses are really they're just little maggot farms, but because of the evil liberals, no one's allowed to say how much they really love the carotene Caligula. No, really.
kind of piggybacking off of that, what you see on college campuses and the speakers being disinvited and, you know, the assault on these ideas, I think it's so important what your administration is doing through the Department of Justice to support these lawsuits to help advance, you know, this free speech movement on campus. So kind of talking generationally in general, this is something that I'm quite curious about and a lot of people ask me. I consider you to be one of the most successful business people in American history, and your successful presidential run is something that all people, young...
Well, I don't know who the hell you are, sir, but I now consider you to be a fucking moron because you think that he's a successful businessman. A guy who bankrupted a damn casino is a successful businessman. Hoo-wee! Jack, email going back. Guccifer got himself busted when he didn't activate his VPN before he logged in. The VPN client, virtual private network, makes it possible to look like you're somewhere that you ain't. Yeah. going back to Kellyanne there for a minute, Alma says, just out of curiosity, what part of the country uses elsewise, as Kellyanne did? I'm truly wanting to know. I never heard of it. I wish, as a longtime practitioner, Alma, of the art of word knowing, I wish I could tell you, because I've never heard elsewise neither. Sorry, haven't. That may be a Kellyanneism, elsewise. Or maybe that's something that she got from the very stable genius. On the other hand, Ron in the far frozen north notes, on the other hand, when I wake up every morning, I'm grateful that Kellyanne isn't the first face I see. Oh, I think I would be, yeah, that'd be like getting hold of some, no, kind of with the gouging with the eyes and the, right, yes, no, I share in your happiness, Ron, I do. Scott sent along a photo. A button I got 20 plus years ago and still wear today. A mind is a terrible thing to confuse with an egg. The letters superimposed over the fried egg from the This is your brain on drug. I'll never forget the night that we were all sitting around pretty well toasted. And that ad came on, and of course everybody always laughed because, you know, no, pot doesn't turn your brain into a fried egg. But one of my pals looked up and went, dude, you gonna eat that? Yeah, that fried egg ad did more to give the potheads the munchies than it ever stopped anyone from smoking weed. As to the business genius of Donald Trump, Ron points out, here's a guy that took an inheritance that, if invested at market rates, would be worth $8 billion today and turned it into a fortune worth $2 billion. Yes, he's a very stable business genius.
People included should look up to. What advice would you give to the 25-year-old Donald Trump, knowing what you know today?
No, I can't say that.
Don't run for president.
But we're glad you did.
No, we aren't.
You know, I was talking to Mercedes and Sarah walking off for just a little, you know, the Oval Office is right across the street. And I said, all my life I've gotten really, you know, look, we all get every once in a while a knock, but I got the greatest publicity. I was getting such great until I ran for office. And but it's been, people get it. People really do get it. There is a lot of fake news out there. Nobody had any idea. And, you know, I'm actually proud of the fact that I exposed it to a large extent, because we exposed it. It's something, it's an achievement. And you have some great news. And, you know, when I...
Sounds like that applause is a little on the tepid side, doesn't it? Yeah, we exposed the fake news. You know, the whole term fake news came into being not because of anything Donald Trump did, but because of what was being done on behalf of Donald Trump. We tend to forget that, don't we? That was the fake news. the stories that were promulgated across Facebook, about which Mark Zuckerberg knew fucking nothing, because they didn't know nothing about, nothing.
We're just sitting here running a little website. That's what we're doing.
Pope Francis endorses Donald Trump. That was one of them. Yeah. But no, you didn't. You've exposed some things, Donnie, but now you're getting sued for it, and it's apparently not very flattering either.
I say fake. I don't mean everybody, not every one of those many people back there. I just say we have shown something that a lot of people didn't really understand. If you look at approval rating, their approval rating is, sorry, folks, it's down the tubes. Because
yeah, oddly enough, more subscribers, more viewers, and somehow down the tubes.
People have found out how dishonest it is. However, you have some great, great reporters. You have some great people in the press, people that I have tremendous respect for.
You know, like Steve Ducey and Brian Kilmeade, whoever the blonde of the week is. I hope I get to, you know, she's almost as hot as Ivanka, who, like, I wanted to date. You know, I was telling Stormy that time when I was getting up off of her. I said, you know, you're awesome. You remind me of my daughter.
Yeah.
So that pretty much brings us to the end of the program this evening. Hope you've enjoyed it as much as I've enjoyed chatting with you. And I thank you, everybody, for all you do keeping the program on the air. And I thank you for your participation in this little conversation that's been going on for more or less the better part of 15 years. Thank you so very much for sharing your time. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks this evening, of course, to Sparky, who never did get around to folding space, moderating in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you to John Fox, working to try to sort out the website problem. Thank you to Brother Deacon Asa, without whom we would be dead in the water without HeadOn.live. Remember, the PayPal interface is there, the chat room, the Patreon, the stream, everything's at HeadOn.live. HEADON.LIVE. Thanks to Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Do you realize that the number of hours of progressive radio that Ben has streamed out since like 2002 reaches into the billions of hours? Ben never gets credit. But the fact of the matter is, what we understand as the progressive media infrastructure mostly wouldn't exist without Ben Birch. Plain and simple. And you know what about Ben? Ben's never sent a bill. Never. Thanks go out to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. Friday on the front porch tomorrow, and it looks like we're going to be facing a Friday on the front porch miracle, or hoping for one, because by tomorrow we will be down to we'll be down $530 to finish fundraising for the week, and we'll make it or we won't. Thanks, everybody. Thank you so very much. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.